Tomorrow marks the 30th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion nationwide. Both abortion rights and anti-abortion activists are expected to mobilize in demonstrations and rallies across the country. But most of those on the front lines of the abortion debate in Washington are already looking beyond tomorrow. They're focused on Congress, where the issue is expected to command a higher legislative profile in coming months than it has in many years. NPR's Julie Rovner reports.
The Democratic takeover of the Senate in mid-2001 interrupted what abortion opponents had hoped would be a productive session for their side, with an anti-abortion president poised to sign whatever Congress would send him. Douglas Johnson of the National Right to Life Committee says he hopes this Congress can pick up where that Republican-controlled one left off.
Over the past 2 years, the House of Representatives has passed 5 pro-life bills. These each represent policies supported by the great majority of Americans and also by President Bush. But we were not even able to get votes on these bills in the Senate under the Democratic leadership. And we are now hopeful that sometime during the new Congress, these measures will be debated and voted on by the Senate.
That time may be soon for the first of those bills, banning one specific procedure opponents call partial birth abortion. On NBC's Meet the Press earlier this month, new Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist said that as a physician, he's offended by the procedure, and he thinks that view is widely shared.
It's a rogue procedure. It's not in the medical textbooks. Something like that where we've got not consensus, but broad support among the American people, I could see that coming very, very quickly.
Frist's vow may have come as a surprise to some because Congress in general, and the Senate particularly, tends to shy away from issues as divisive as abortion. It rarely came up in the Senate even when Republicans controlled it. But John Green of the University of Akron says lawmakers may now have little choice but to take it up because abortion opponents who helped Republicans regain their congressional majorities will demand it.
Religious conservatives, whether they are evangelical Protestants or Roman Catholics or any of the other religious groups, have been very patient, in their view, with the Republican Party and with President Bush. And now that the Republicans control the White House and both houses of Congress, they are going to expect some action on their agenda.
The so-called partial birth ban seems an obvious place to start. It's passed both the House and Senate with large majorities several times since 1995. The only reason it hasn't become law before now was the Senate's inability to muster a two-thirds vote to override President Clinton's veto. Douglas Johnson of the National Right to Life Committee says it's tops on his group's agenda.
There are more than 60 senators who have previously voted for it or expressed support for that bill. The president has called for the Senate to act on it on numerous occasions. So we are hopeful in the not very distant future that that bill would come up in the Senate, and we're guardedly optimistic that it would pass and become law.
But actually banning the procedure may not be as easy as it seems. The Supreme Court 2.5 years ago struck down a similar Nebraska law because it failed to include a health exception, language allowing the procedure to be used to protect the pregnant woman's health. Abortion opponents hate health exceptions because the courts have interpreted them broadly enough to undercut most legal limits on the procedure. So the new version of the bill has no health exception. It attempts to get around the Supreme Court by simply declaring that the procedure is never necessary to protect a woman's health. David Garrow, a law professor and abortion expert at Emory University, says he doubts that will work.
I think anyone who knows the case law on abortion and is willing to analyze it objectively ought to conclude that any partial birth ban that the new Republican Congress passes without a comprehensive health exception is going to be held unconstitutional by any federal court.
But John Green of the University of Akron says from a political point of view, that might not be the worst thing that could happen.
If they're looking at appeasing their religious allies, then passing a ban that will be overturned by the courts is good politics, because then it's no longer the White House's fault or the Speaker's fault. It's the court's fault.
After the partial birth bill, the Senate could take up another bill the House passed last year with support of the anti-abortion community to ban all forms of human cloning, including the cloning of embryos for research. The House is also expected to pass for a fourth time a bill to ban taking a minor across state lines for an abortion if the girl's home state requires that her parents be notified. Other bills the House has passed but the Senate has yet to take up would make it a crime to injure or kill a fetus during an attack on a pregnant woman and to make it easier for hospitals and insurance plans to decline to offer abortion services. Abortion rights backers like Kate Michelman of the group NARAL Pro-Choice America say even the bills that aren't directly about abortion have one underlying theme in common: the elevation of the fetus in an effort to undermine the right to abortion.
All of this sort of stealth work that is going on in a deliberate, aggressive fashion in the House and now the Senate can lead directly to a challenge to Roe versus Wade on a court that is very closely balanced.
But while Senate action beyond the first bill or two remains a question mark, the House has made it clear it intends to move again. Green says there are several reasons the House is quicker than the Senate to take on abortion issues. One is the nature of Senate debate that makes it difficult to move bills that don't command 60 votes. But he says there's another, more geographic explanation about why the House is more strongly anti-abortion.
I suspect that's because of the nature of the Republican caucus in the House, you know, where a majority now of the Republican members now come from the South, many of them from rural and suburban areas where there are these strong religious voting blocks.
Even if the Senate does decide to be more aggressive in taking up abortion bills, there's one huge wild card. If a vacancy opens up on the Supreme Court, both sides agree, the debate over a nominee will likely drive all other abortion issues completely off the agenda. Julie Rovner, NPR News, Washington.